Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where they have voted in the Senate. What have they voted for? They voted to begin debate, which actually required Vice President Kamala Harris to vote to break the tie to allow them to begin debate on a $1.9 trillion. That's $1,900 billion. That's right. Of your money, or actually our grandchildren's money, or great-great-great-grandchildren's money, all to save the country from the ravages of COVID-19 to our economy. Somebody who has kept this entire matter in perspective and has been particularly passionate about the need to reopen schools, which is one area where Americans left, right, and center seem to agree, is Mark Thiessen, who writes a twice-weekly syndicated column for the Washington Post on both foreign and domestic policy. He's a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and he was a former chief speechwriter for President George W. Bush. Mark, I take it you're there in the nation's capital, your usual posting?
Yes.
And the Capitol is still functioning. There hasn't been another insurrection, as we had been warned about. The House didn't really need to cancel its session today because of fears of some kind of riot.
No, they are functioning. Maybe an overstatement, but they are and they are on the floor and doing the people's business, I guess.
Okay, so you wrote a great column, and I wanted to speak to you about it, about one governor, and no, it's not Greg Abbott of Texas. It's somebody who I think handled this much better, in the state of Iowa to get the schools reopened and to beat the teachers' unions. How did Kim Reynolds do it?
Well, she spent a lot of time talking to teachers and students and educators. You know, one of the advantages of the pandemic is that all the school board meetings were on Zoom. And so she could just pop in on any local school board meeting she wanted to from her office in the governor's office. And she spent a lot of time what she realized is, one, that the parents wanted their kids back in school. Two, that the science said that it was safe for their kids to go back in school. And three, that the teachers' union had utter contempt for the parents and utter contempt for their jobs. She told me that she was actually participating in a school board meeting in Des Moines through Zoom. And the parents were arguing with the school board, saying that the teachers are essential workers. And the school board actually said, no, that's actually not true. The teachers and held a vote, and they voted not to be considered essential. I mean, imagine that. And she said,
"Okay,
get me a recording of that. I want that on the record." And so she did.
That's incredible. Go ahead.
It is incredible. No, it's incredible because, you know, grocery workers, you know, showed up through the entire pandemic. Can you imagine if, like, all the grocery clerks just said, we're not coming into work until we get vaccinated? We would have starved as a country. Apparently teachers don't consider themselves to be essential. And so what she did was she signed a law. She said she had it's called the condition of the state address, which is like the state of the state address. And she said, I want a bill on my desk in 2 weeks mandating that every public and private school in the state of Iowa offer parents the option of 5 days a week learning in person, no ifs, ands, or buts. And the legislature passed it. Only one Democrat voted for it in the entire House and Senate, but they have a majority. And so she signed it into law. And right now, every kid in Iowa has the right to go to school 5 days a week. I think it's one of the boldest things any governor has done during this pandemic. And, you know, every parent in America should be demanding that their governor do what Kim Reynolds did.
I think you would agree with me that this is probably more effective both as a matter of leadership and policy and as a matter of politics than the controversial move by the governors of Mississippi and Texas, Greg Abbott and Phil Bryant, just recently to totally reopen all both states.
Yes, I do. I mean, look, there is a we're coming out of the pandemic. We only have we are going to have, according to the Biden administration, now that J&J has come out with its vaccine and they're partnering with Merck to produce almost 100 million doses in the next 2 months. We're going to have enough vaccine for every American adult to be vaccinated by May. So we've only got a couple more months to go before we really can come out of this. So I think we need to keep our nose to the grindstone, continue social distancing, continue masking, and the light is at the end of the tunnel. But that doesn't mean the kids can't go to school, because it is, the science shows that it is safe for kids to be in school even without the teachers being vaccinated. And it's just appalling that the teachers' unions won't do their jobs. And the costs that are being imposed on these kids, Michael, and it's not, you know, the wealthy kids who can go to private schools or even the people who can afford parochial schools, because their kids are going to school full time. The Catholic schools are open. Private schools are open. It's poor kids in inner city communities who can least afford to have a learning gap that are getting screwed over. There was a McKinsey study that said that they expect that these kids will have up to $82,000 in lost lifetime earnings because of this earning loss just alone. I mean, that's devastating for somebody who's living in an impoverished community and is trying to escape poverty.
Well, especially with the Democrats saying their biggest concern is inequality, that only intensifies and expands the inequality. Right now, you work with President Bush on messaging, President Bush being the only Republican since Reagan to actually get reelected as president. You worked with President Bush. How would you advise the current Republican leadership to message on why they are almost universally, and I think universally, opposed to this $1.9 trillion boondoggle of a rescue package?
A couple of points. Number one, most of it isn't for COVID. The Wall Street Journal reported that only about $800 billion out of the $1.9 trillion is directly related to COVID. So this is not a COVID relief bill. This is a Democrats giving money using the COVID pandemic as a pretext to pay off all their constituencies. For example, they say we can't open the schools unless we pass this bill. Most of the money for education won't be paid out until 2022 to 2028. So this is not money that's going to be spent to get our kids back in school. So they're lying about it. So that's number one. Number two is that it's not targeted at the right people, even the stuff that's supposedly COVID-related. So you have families making hundreds of thousands of dollars who are going to get checks. Why does a family who has not been hurt by the pandemic, who can afford to put their kids in private school, and who hasn't lost any income or job or anything like that, get a check from their neighbors, which is essentially what this is, or from their grandchildren, because we're going to borrow this from China and make our grandchildren pay this off. So that's the second thing, and then the third thing is simply that the Republicans came to Joe Biden and said, we want to work with you on a more targeted bill. And he basically rebuffed them. You know, the Democrats keep saying we're using this reconciliation process, which means they can pass it with 50 votes with no Republican votes. We're using this reconciliation process. Well, the Republicans just did that with tax reform under President Trump. The reason for that was no Democrat came forward to work with President Trump on tax reform. They all said they're going to vote against it no matter what it was. here Joe Biden had 10 Senate Republicans, which is enough for a filibuster-proof bipartisan majority.
Yeah, who he actually sat down with and wanted to work with. That's a very, very important point from Mark Thiessen. You can read his columns. You can link to them at michaelmedved.com. He is also does a wonderful podcast under WTH heading. We will get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show. I first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5-6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. Big questions. Are religion and science constantly inevitably at war? Can science provide evidence for God? New York Times best-selling author Stephen Meyer, he's a philosopher of science. He has written The Return of the God Hypothesis, three scientific discoveries that revealed the mind behind the universe. There's a special offer for MedVed listeners. Free excerpt from the book, free digital booklet on intelligent design, a discount on Dr. Meyer's online course, and invitation to an exclusive online meeting with Dr. Stephen Meyer. And amazingly, this new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, has just been endorsed by a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Dr. Brian Josephson, and many other prominent scientists. You can read about it, find out all about it, when you go to discovery.org/MedVed for a special offer you don't want to miss. discovery.org/MedVed.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
On the Michael Medved show, with all of everything that is going on in Capitol Hill right now, it is almost a three-ring circus. And there are three extremely major, very big, none of them very good, pieces of massive legislation that are going to impact your lives. And one of them, of course, is the $1.9 trillion, and you can't say it often enough. It's just a staggering amount of money. It is more than double the amount, even adjusted for inflation, of Barack Obama's stimulus package, which did not cure the recession. It did not. And you can even make arguments that slowed up the recession. They say it didn't work because they didn't spend enough. So that's why Joe Biden is going big on this one. There's that. And then there is the For the People Voting Rights Act, so-called. And then there is the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. That also passed. We will get to that in just a moment. But the issue of the voting and the attempt to redo our voting, to change the Federal Election Commission, and one of the very worst things in the bill that was passed is that it says that for people who give money to candidates, if you give up to $100, up to $200 actually, you're allowed to give, if you give $200 to the candidate of your choice. Say you like Ron DeSantis for president. By the way, he just got a huge contribution, a $25,000 contribution, from the former governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, who is now retired, lives in Florida, and it's a sign that Ron DeSantis is a very serious presidential contender. In any event, if you give, say, $200 to Ron DeSantis, then the government uses taxpayer money, welfare for politicians, to not double it, not triple it, not quadruple it, but to sextuple it. That's six times. You give $200, the government throws in another $1,200. What sense does that make? We're talking about spending hundreds of millions of dollars here to fund more negative ads for politicians or whatever they want to spend it for. However, for Sheila Jackson Lee, appearing on CNN, this is a civil rights issue. That, by the way, throwing in all that extra money and totally overriding the state's ability to regulate their own elections, this amounts to a defense of fundamental minority rights. This is a clip 9A.
Well, I think tragically, we have not had this historical opposition to our individual rights since before slavery. During the Jim Crow days and, of course, the harshness of the 1960s. The tragedy of this is that an entire party, the Republican Party now, is committed to voter suppression, committed to avoiding the opportunity for votes. Donald Trump laid out the plan at the CPAC by saying he only wants one day for voting. They don't want to have opportunities for absentee ballots. They don't want to have the opportunity for extended voting, same-day registration, all of the things that empower young people and, yes, people of color and African Americans. This is a war on black people as it relates to voting.
This is a war on black people? In other words, this idea that limiting election day to one day or maybe to 1 week, one of the reasons that's important is because you had a situation in this last election where there were places in the country where they were welcoming people voting before they even had the second debate. In other words, one of the ideas about the consent of the governed is that the governed should be expressing that consent at least approximately the same time. Okay, maybe you give people a week of early voting. if that's what states decide. But the other thing is that it's not Republicans who are trying to force some kind of federal change where it would basically impact every single state. Republicans are trying to build support for tightening up some voting regulations and protections against voter fraud and for voter security, and I think those are legitimate. That trying to tighten that up on a state-by-state basis, it's Democrats who are trying to wipe everything out and make a one-size-fits-all that is required to apply to every single state. Here's Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, the Democrat from Texas, talking about what this fight is about, in her opinion. This is 9B.
And unfortunately, it seems the Supreme Court is now going to participate with its seemingly intended decision to narrow the only remaining aspect of the Voting Rights Act, Section 2, which we are trying to fix with the John Robert Lewis legislation in H.R. 4. This is a fight for democracy, a fight for justice, and an opportunity or a desire or a need to restore the voting rights of people of color, and particularly black people. We will not allow this to happen under the Biden administration and the Democratic House and Senate. It's tragic that Republicans want to take that stand because they can't win fairly. They can't draw people to their positions. They are now trying to suppress the votes.
Okay, again, she's confusing what's happening in Congress, where it's the Democrats who are trying to change everything, from what's happening in several states, yes, including Georgia, where Republicans are trying to adjust the voting rules on a state-by-state basis, which is the way the Constitution intended. The House yesterday voted along party lines to pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Remember I mentioned Three Ring Circus? Well, this was the third ring. This is this and the Voting Rights Crusade, so-called, and the Stimulus Rescue Package. The George Floyd Justice and Policing Act is a Democrat-backed bill that seeks to enact sweeping police reform. The prominent measures include a federal ban on no-knock warrants and chokeholds, limits on qualified immunity that shields police officers from civil lawsuits, and a framework to prevent racial profiling and the establishment of a national registry on allegations of police misconduct. The bill passed by a 220 to 212 vote. Texas Representative Lance Gooden was the only Republican to vote in favor of it, while two Democrats voted against it. Republican opposition is threatened, centered in part on the bid to end qualified immunity. GOP critics, including Senator Tim Scott, the black Republican from South Carolina, have argued that removing a liability shield would undermine public safety and make it difficult to recruit, including making it difficult to recruit more minority officers. We will get to more on the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act and some of the lies that are being told about it. And who were the rioters really who helped try to destroy the Capitol building? We'll get to that coming up.
You're listening to the Mighty.
You're the best radio show host in the country.
Michael Medved Show.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate is taking up President Biden's nearly $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill today. The bill only with support from Democrats, as Republicans are not happy with the fact that there's a proposed $350 billion to bail out state and local governments. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst saying,
I think we might have a new name for this package that's come over. It's the Porky Partisan Pricey Pet Project Package.
Republicans can force some procedural delays by reading the bill out loud, but all indications are that Democrats have the votes for the bill to pass. The Labor Department says first-time jobless claims have gone up a bit. The slight increase comes after the previous week saw unemployment claims fall to its lowest level since November. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. If you're following EV stocks, then you may know that this potential $3 trillion marketplace depends on graphite for next-generation energy cells. You can get free up-to-the-minute research on the stocks that are leading the way in this red-hot sector with your free subscription to Avid Metals Research Report when you text the word HOT to 48542. Developments in the electric vehicle market are compelling, but investors know we're running short on lithium and graphite supply. Did you know we could also be running short of cobalt? Cobalt is used in chemical production and is one of the critical elements needed to make the EV power source. Research suggests there's not enough ability to mine and process the material to meet demand. We've identified a strategically well-positioned company that could lead the way in solving this critical problem. Get your free research from the Metals Research Report when you text HOT to 48542. Text HOT to 48542.
Michael Medved Show, where our phone number is 1-800-955-1776. There is a great deal of debate going on about the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. You may remember there was an extremely fine bill, a bipartisan bill that had very strong support from virtually all Republicans and many Democrats. A bill that had been written by Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, and that was supposed to be addressing some of the problems in policing and was actually doing so constructively. And that was blocked, never got to come to a vote by Senate Democrats. They argued, of course, it didn't go far enough in dealing with what they considered systemic racism. They were supposed to have actually voted on this George Floyd bill today, and they didn't because there was this fear of a March 4th riot, where there had been reports, and this was brought out by many sources, that QAnon believers believe that today was the day that President Trump was going to get inaugurated, because until 1933, actually the inauguration in 1933 was on March 4th, until 1937, until that inauguration, we always inaugurate our presidents on March 4th. So QAnon had this theory that there was going to be an invasion of righteous people installing President Trump today. And then they were going to go after the Satanist pedophile child eaters and root them all out. Well, that hasn't exactly happened. But part of what did happen in the context of what we're talking about here, the response to the George Floyd tragedy, one of the things that people should look forward to is that this month, the month of March, we are going to be seeing the beginning of the trial of the police officers, particularly Derek Chauvin, who's standing trial for murder, who were responsible for the death of George Floyd, at least according to the indictments against them. And the idea of what the verdict is going to be, in other words, if the verdict comes out in the middle of the summer, are we going to see a repeat of that kind of violent response that we saw to the George Floyd case initially? What's incredible about this is people try to change history, because I remember how appalling it was. This was the worst that we had since 1968. 1968, when Dr. King was assassinated. There were riots in 160 American cities. There were riots all across the country, and they were extraordinarily serious. But in clip six, you'll hear John LeMayer of the Associated Press appearing on MSNBC. Listen to the way that he describes the reaction to the death of George Floyd. Listen.
As to the different makeup of these protesters, of the people we saw in June versus the people we saw in January. In June, these were nonviolent protesters, racially mixed, a lot of young people, fueled by the Black Lives Matter movement, those outraged by the death of George Floyd, a black man killed under the knee of a white police officer in Minnesota. There was no violence there. The president instead cleared Lafayette Square, cleared the protesters with using military personnel as part of the response, using a chemical akin to tear gas, pushing them out in order to have a photo op. We remember his awkward stroll across the park and then standing there in front of the church holding a Bible as if he had never held one before. And then, of course, let's remember who was there in January. These were Trump supporters. They were white. They were people who, as was well documented, if the racial makeup of that group had been different, the response at the Capitol likely would have been different as well. And we still saw, of course, acts of real heroism by the Capitol Police.
Okay, this notion that the Capitol Police held back, that the National Guard held back because these demonstrators were white, is ridiculous. And by the way, it is also ridiculous to say there was no violence going on in Washington, D.C. during the George Floyd riots. They had a great deal of violence. They had set that Trinity Church on fire, and I understand they got the fire out. Thank God. It's a historic church, and in the basement, they had set a fire. And there, it clearly was out of control, and it required the National Guard. And do I think that President Trump handled it well by clearing out Lafayette Square so he could have his photo op in front of the church? No, it was stupid. And it was worse than stupid. It was an abuse of power. But the fact is that that doesn't mean that the riots that actually did occur were nonviolent. They weren't. And this goes along with, I mean, part of what is just wild overstatement on the part of people on the left. Listen to this. This is Beto O'Rourke, who was a candidate for president. He almost won a Senate race. I'm very grateful that he did not. He was in an interview on MSNBC, and he tried to explain why he considered the Republican Party a death cult. Listen, that's clip four.
To what do you chalk up? You chalk the cruelty of the Republican posture at this moment, this hour of the pandemic.
I think it appeared to many of us to be a cult of personality, the Republican Party, in the era of Trump. And that probably still holds true. It's hard to escape the conclusion that it's also a cult of death. You have extraordinarily anti-democratic elements. I mean, look at the insurrection on January 6th for any proof. You have anti-government elements literally running the government of the state of Texas. And it almost, I use the phrase failed state, because I think when you can't guarantee the electricity, the heat, the running water, the public welfare and safety, you are about there by any classic definition. You have folks who are literally upending civilization.
Okay, I understand what Governor Abbott did in Texas is controversial. I think that Governor Abbott went too far. I think it's going to be viewed ultimately as a mistake in terms of public health, and a mistake politically. Getting schools reopened, absolutely. Some kind of limited reopening, but reopening with no restrictions. But to say it's a death cult? Let's watch and see if, and again, there are a lot of Democratic mayors in the state of Texas, mayors of cities like Houston and San Antonio, who are very much opposed to what the governor is doing. But to suggest that the party is a death cult is suggesting that Governor Abbott actually wants to kill people. And then saying that Texas is a failed state, when the Texas economy and the decision of more and more Americans to move to Texas, it's one of those states. In fact, of all the states in the union, Texas is going to gain the most representatives because it's gained the most population. And the idea that you point to Texas as a failed state rather than, oh, say, Illinois, which people are moving from, or California. California, for the first time in history, California became a state in 1850. It was admitted as part of the Great Compromise of 1850. It came into the Union then, since 1850. So you're talking about most of American history. California has always, every 10 years, gained representation in Congress. This year, it is will not gain anything. It is also possible when the census is finished that they'll lose a representative in Congress. Because people are going to states like Texas. Where is there a failed state? We'll be right back. Relief Factor is natural. It uses natural anti-inflammatory ingredients to reduce your level of pain, discomfort, stiffness. It really does work. And a 3-week quick start is amazing. It is a great buy. It's $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. You take 3 little packets a day, and you can feel the difference. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor. Did Charles Darwin's work impact society for better or worse? Go to discovery.org/medved and get the free digital book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. Learn how Darwin actually impacted faith, morality, medicine, criminal justice, and much more. Ideas have consequences. For a limited time, get your free copy of Darwin's Three Big Ideas at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Grovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved show, there is no justifying the riots on Capitol Hill, but the idea that John Lemire of the Associated Press suggested that they were a more serious assault on law and order and on the way that Americans live their lives. Well, obviously, he's never visited Seattle. He doesn't have any recollection, apparently, of what happened with the Capitol Hill occupied zone and occupied protest, they called it, or the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, CHAZ. With all of that, the summer riots, at a minimum, caused $2 billion worth of damages. I was struck at some of the footage of Santa Monica, California, which is not an oppressed enclave in any sense, where three blocks of stores were looted. It's just trashed. And people have to rebuild from that. There were 14,000 arrests. There have been 300 arrests so far in the Capitol Hill riots. There will be more. But they now say that at most 800 people actually entered the Capitol building. 14,000 arrests over the summer riots. And not five dead, it was more than 20 who died in the violence instigated by those riots. And there were 12 police officers who were shot. Now, in the Capitol riots, there are 140 police officers who were hospitalized, who needed medical attention. So it's serious. But to say that the Capitol Hill riots were serious is not to say, oh, yes, but the riots over the summer were peaceful and they are beyond criticism. I mean, for goodness sake. And there is a sense that maybe, just maybe, there's a little bit of overreaction on the part of our authorities and of our Congress members about future threats to the Capitol building itself. This is the reporting from the New York Times about today, March 4th. The Capitol Police Force is preparing for a new assault on the Capitol building today, Thursday. after obtaining intelligence of a potential plot by a militia group just 2 months after a mob of Trump loyalists and extremists attacked the building, leaving 5 dead and hundreds injured. Leaving nothing to chance, House leaders on Wednesday abruptly moved a vote on policing legislation, which we were just talking about. They moved it from today to yesterday, last night, so lawmakers could leave town, according to a senior Democratic aide familiar with the planning. The possible plot, as described by the Capitol Police, appeared to be inspired by the pro-Trump conspiracy theory known as QAnon. That, according to a senior administration official who reviewed the intelligence warning. Intelligence analysts had spent weeks tracking online chatter by some QAnon adherents who have latched on to March 4th, the original inauguration date set in the Constitution, as the day Donald J. Trump would be restored to the presidency and renew his crusade against America's enemies. It would have been useful for President Trump, rather than for them canceling Congress and calling us high alert, if President Trump had made some public statement saying, no, I am not planning to reassume the presidency on March 4th. By the way, they now say, the QAnon people, it's not March 4th, we got it wrong, it's supposed to be March 6th, so stay tuned. That would be Saturday, right? Saturday? Sunday? In any event, it's the militia group supposedly behind this plan was not named, and even many influential QAnon followers who believe the United States is dominated by a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles have cast March 4th as a deep state plot, of course, to incite the movement's adherents and provoke a nationwide crackdown. But after being caught flat-footed by the rioters on January 6th, the Capitol Police and members of Congress appear to be taking no chances. Representative Michael McCaul of Texas, he's a good guy, by the way, a senior Republican on the House Homeland Security Committee, pleaded on CNN on Wednesday, President Trump has a responsibility to tell them to stand down. This threat is credible. It's real. It's a right-wing militia group. Okay, they didn't show up. They were no-shows. Skittish lawmakers, many still rattled by the January attack that sent them fleeing, were given plenty of warning this time. Yogananda D. Pittman, the acting chief of the Capitol Police, told lawmakers yesterday that the agency had received concerning intelligence about possible threats against the Capitol on today, March 4th. Adding that threats against lawmakers were through the roof. The Capitol Police later sent an alert to lawmakers, warning that the force was monitoring various reports referencing potential First Amendment activities from March 4th to March 6th. Potential First Amendment activities? They're talking about protests? Was there any big protest announced taking place? They go on. While the warning did not definitively say militia groups plan to come to Washington, the analyst said that continued false statements of election fraud and narratives elevated by QAnon may contribute to extremists turning to violence. Quote, those extremists were inspired to target March 4th by QAnon conspiracists who said Mr. Trump would be inaugurated on that day and eventually return to power. He may well plan to return to power, but that would be 2025. That's a long time from now. January 20th, 2025 would be his next inauguration. If he actually runs, I don't think he will, and wins. I don't think he can. But they said they had not seen or been briefed on any specific credible threat of an attack on politicians, the Capitol, or other symbols of government. Now, usually they've been very free in associating Oath Keepers and Three Percenters and the Boogaloo Boys and the Proud Boys and a bunch of other fringe groups with the attack on January 6th, they haven't given the name of the militia group that supposedly is was planning to take the Capitol building today. I don't know, maybe we'll do it tonight. Who knows? Intelligence officials are struggling to determine whether suspicious online chatter should prompt public warnings about an attack that may not come to fruition. The issue is thorny, given that much of that kind of chatter is protected by the First Amendment. The warning shared with Capitol Police emphasized what top federal law enforcement officials have repeatedly said since January 6th, that the United States generally faces an elevated threat from domestic extremists emboldened by the attack on Congress. Ms. Pittman, she's the head of the Capitol Police, the new head, said threats against lawmakers had risen nearly 94% in the first 2 months of the year compared with the first 2 months of 2020. She assured members of Congress that the police force would be ready for any potential violence on March 4th. Look, all of this is serious. The plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan was serious, and they busted that through an informant, and people are languishing in jail right now. There's also people, and plenty of people, who have been jailed among the 800 people who stormed the Capitol building. There are 300 who've been arrested. And they probably will gather up more. But here is one of the things that is fascinating, and we need to talk about it. There's a study that was just done at University of Chicago, and it's a very major and important study, and actually I think people will find it reassuring. It is simply not true that most of the people who stormed the Capitol building were parts of organized militias. It was a tiny percentage. By the way, demographically, the people who stormed the Capitol building had something very profound in common. We will tell you what that is. It wasn't racial. It wasn't political. It was something even deeper. We will get to that and to much more. We will also be talking a little bit about real threats to America and the QAnon shaman. Remember him? He is speaking out about why he really entered the Capitol building. And a replacement for this Pledge of Allegiance in Washington State. That and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.